Well, critics are urging caution over a major new Asia-Pacific trade deal that took big steps towards fruition at a major regional summit in Bangkok on the weekend. If it's finalised in the next year, it would cover 29% of the global economy. Initiated by China, the Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership, or RCEP as it's called for short, includes 15 Asia-Pacific states, among them Australia, but not the US, and now India has dropped out. Some observers, though, say we should be wary of the way such deals are negotiated and about some of the provisions that are possible as well. Alan Oxley, though, disagrees. He was a long-serving international trade diplomat and advisor. He's chair of the Australian APEC Study Centre at RMIT University, and he's managing director of trade consultancy ITS Global. We spoke first about what the deal might mean for Australia and also for the Southeast Asian states that are on board.
Well, the importance is they're accepting that they need to do a little bit more to open their markets for trade. The reality with most of the ASEAN countries is that they still have got a number of restrictions on imports. They're still not free to encourage foreign investment, which is now probably a bit more important than tariffs. So these are things that they need to move along, and at least ASEAN, the ASEAN group, provides a framework for to do that. For us, the actual returns are fairly modest. It's really a matter of Australia being engaged in this sort of thing and seeing if we can encourage even more liberalisation by the member states.
Now, India is holding out. Are their concerns legitimate around a flood of Chinese goods? China is, of course, going to sign up if it happens, and their own tariff structure.
Well, they've got a different problem, which they don't talk about much. In India, most of the responsibility for trade lies in the state governments, not the national government. And that's the major problem the national government has, that it can't control. There's a lot of influence exerted by big business in India, and they're not really interested in opening their markets. So they've stepped away, which is actually quite good, because their attitude has been, you should be going along with what we want to do. What they want to do has never been wholly consistent, where even the ASEANs wanted to head. I mean, India's got this typical syndrome that big economies have, where they're fairly large, they can actually get by without having to open their markets. Their business figures are very powerful. The Indian government, often when it comes to business, doesn't have a lot of control over the way in which business decisions are taken.
Now, what about the RCEP agreement itself, even without India? The criticisms of this and other similar big trade deals are around, well, there's a whole lot of things, but the secrecy of negotiations is one point, public's not being able to see what's going on. Do you accept that's a fair criticism?
No, I don't. It's often talked about, particularly by people who don't like trade liberalisation. To claim that they don't know what's going on, they can't see things, is really, I think, a sort of political grumble rather than a real fact.
One of the other details is around investor-state dispute settlement, where big companies can take sovereign governments to rather opaque processes to settle disputes, the fear that sovereignty is traded off to companies. How do you view those?
This is a position which is taken by the ACTU and the unions. It's not credible, and it's a highly political position. It actually never makes much in the way of sense, because the ISDS proposals, which aren't actually being run all over the place, it's only been in some agreements where they apply, are supported by businesses, are supported by their governments. And we've got this strange situation here in Australia where the union movement, which has been the major push on this, seems to think it's something you shouldn't be engaged with. It really has no rational basis.
And just finally, the other element here is China's security behaviour, particularly in the South China Sea. China insists it's not going to cede an inch of territory there. Should China be rewarded by being included in a big trade deal like RCEP if it's continuing to, as some see it, bully smaller nations in the region?
No, look, the key thing here, which is a fact of life with international relations, and to a degree I think has been skirted over and put aside, security and trade issues are separate, are traditionally treated as separate. And you might have noticed that while China has been quite unhappy with some of the general statements that have been made by the Australian government, they haven't ceased to bring Australian imports in. They still regard iron ore exports as a major important product. And that's actually the reality. When we look over time at these relationships, it's not too often that a major country will invoke a security concern when there are major trade interests at stake.
Trade consultant and former diplomat Alan Oxley.